Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back. So we are down to the West Virginia Mountaineers now. They are ranked 10th. I believe they are the highest ranked in the Big 12 this year. A lot of people have picked him to be the winner of the Big 12 this year. A lot of them have, and when I say a lot of them, I mean pundits. A lot of the radio stations in Big 12 Nation. I know the Horn and Austin had West Virginia up there. A couple other radio shows around the country had them up there. So, you know, we'll see what happened. Ranking, I would rather be that team that's not ranked and sneak up on everybody like TCU did a couple of years ago. So let's get to it, guys. West Virginia opens up with Tennessee and looks like it's at Tennessee. So that'll be a big deal. If they win that game and they do win the Big 12 title like people are predicting them and they win out, then they will be in the college football playoff because that's an SEC win. And the next week they have a home, you know, as they say, gimme game versus Youngstown State. So if they can be 2-0, that they will definitely be in the top 25. And let me say this. A lot of people, I'll say specifically, a lot of times we listen to Paul Feinbaum because that's the only college football option we have daily, and I think we need more. The frustrating part about that is he says, well, these gimme games, I don't even count them. You got to realize something. Football is a sport, and we take care of each other, and people who love college football take care of each other. So I don't care if a Texas A&M plays a FCS school or a small school or a Division I school or a small D1 school because that helps pay money for the athletic department. That gives more people scholarship. That gives more people jobs. And the more people that have scholarships, the more people that have jobs, the more people that are enjoying this game, the better off the economy is, kind of like what Larry Fedora says, and the better off it is at a lot of universities because they can generate that money back with a football team on top of making money playing a bigger team. So I'm really just kind of just tired of the selfish attitude with the people at ESPN and all that. Say, you got to play this, you got to play that. You need to play a team to give your team some confidence. And bad, they don't say that about college basketball. Look at college basketball schedules. Look at the first 5 or 10 games they play. They don't play Villanova versus UNC the first 10 games of the year or this versus that. They play St. Mary's and St. Peter's and Monmouth or whatever universities you never heard of that has a basketball team, and that team makes money playing them, and they go on. So I'm tired of when it comes to football, everybody at these networks got some problem with big schools playing a small Division I team that needs the money, and it also helps their school. So let's get back to the schedule, guys. NC State, West Virginia plays at NC State. That's another big game. They win that would be amazing. Kansas State at home, it's a winnable game. At Texas Tech, it's going to be a very difficult game. Texas Tech remembers what happened to them last time. They got blown out by West Virginia. But if West Virginia is undefeated at that point, that's serious business. Kansas at home should be a winnable game. At Iowa State will be a tough game, but winnable. Baylor at home, winnable game. At Texas, very tough road game, but winnable game. TCU at home, tough game, but it's a home game. So obviously it's a winnable game. And then Oklahoma State, at Oklahoma State, tough game, but winnable game. And then Oklahoma at home, extremely tough game, but winnable game because they play OU at home. So you could say they'll be 10-2. You could say they'll be 9-3, 8-4, 12-1, 12-0. But I tell you what, if West Virginia gets through this schedule undefeated or gets through this schedule 11-1, it would be absolutely unfair if they didn't make the college football playoff. Because if an SEC school goes through this, there's no problem. And you got to remember, there's a lot of times people are complaining about SEC schools because in the middle of the season, Nick Saban and the boys will play a team like Lamar or some team that's an FCS school. So they'd play their hard first game, and then came November, in the middle of November, nowhere they'd play some FCS school, which I don't have a problem with it because I would try and tone down to get a win before I had to play Auburn and the Iron Bowl or play in the SEC championship game. So this complaining about scheduling is really childish and it's really stupid because if you win your conference and you win your one big out-of-conference game, that's great. And then if you play one small school, that's the small school Super Bowl, and it also gives the small school money towards the athletic department. And every once in a while, the small school wins, just like Appalachian State kicked Michigan's butt about a decade ago. So we got to stop with the pettiness, stop with the crybaby nonsense, and everybody won, everybody did. Just a couple years ago, this was the funniest thing to me, Big 12 Nation. These people at the networks were actually over there complaining and talking about we need to switch college basketball up and it needs to be more scoreboard, it needs to be more scoring. So then they put the 3-second line in college basketball. Most of us who love and watch college basketball, that nonsense doesn't make a damn difference to us. The same amount of people that watch the Final Four and the same amount of people who watch the exact same amount of people who watch the Final Four and the exact same amount of people who watched college basketball or just the tournament in general, the 68, not 64 teams now, the 68 teams. It's about the same viewership numbers. Them putting that goofy 3-second line in there and say it's too much defense in college, but it's just like, why? Like, I don't understand why the NCAA and why everybody else thinks that whatever ESPN says or whatever somebody else says, you got to write it down and it's the law, you got to do it. Final Four, the viewership is the same as it was in the last decade. I guarantee you it didn't go up, and if they quote-unquote claim it went up, it didn't go up by that much because you put a 3-second line in there and you said you wanted more offense instead of defense. It's quite stupid. It's quite childish. It's quite annoying. Some things need to be changed, but the things that need to be changed, like replay on certain plays, they don't change that. But these little petty rules where, you know, I watched an NFL game last night, guys, and they caught a targeting on a guy who literally just came up with his shoulder and hit somebody. And then they said, well, if you're leaning like that, and I was sitting there saying, like, you know, this is why Larry Fedora said what he said. Don't be dumb. If a guy's going head down on the ground and throwing his head into something and where he can break his neck, okay, eject him. If a guy goes helmet to helmet where he, like, headbutts another player, that's another thing. But some of these, like, goofy, questionable calls where he's just playing football, and it's just an opinion of the referee's motion, and the referee isn't a football coach, and he doesn't understand technique. It's just dumb as hell to me that you're kicking these kids out of games for stuff that's just a flat-out football play. They're not targeting. It's just flat-out technique. It's not helmet-to-helmet. It's not trying to break their own neck. It's just flat-out going through the motions. It's like you roll your hips and when you play baseball, and you roll your hips when you come up and under to lift somebody up to tackle them. Like, you have to get the person off the ground. Like, it's just getting stupid. So, it's like they said, this will last for so long, and then somebody else is going to come along, and they're going to buy football and say, all right, enough of this stuff. Like, we went overboard. You know, we haven't had anybody die. And they always talk about this kid happening, this concussion, and trying to show it on ESPN. But what ESPN doesn't do is talk about the basketball players that die in the middle of games, or like the one who died in the NBA G League at the end of the game this past year. Nobody, are we going to start stopping in the middle of basketball games now and doing heart monitors at the end of every quarter? Like, it's just stupid. That's how you know they're under attack for football. So that's my rant for the day. I'm, you know, being nitpicky as usual. But Urban Meyer, the mom of the girls accusing, is not even on her side. So it's a joke. You know, she came out with this once she saw her meal ticket was going. Urban fired her, but she calls it, and she knows she calls it. And obviously, Zach Smith, he's not a smart guy to have on your schedule, on your on your staff anyway. If he's violating the restraining orders, but even the restraining order that was so-and-so, I mean, quote unquote, violated, it's kind of like a setup because if she wasn't answering the phone, and if it was his day for custody, then it's kind of like she set that up on purpose to trying to make some money. You know it's the man's day for custody. You know he's coming to pick him up. You're not answering the phone. The person you're supposed to exchange to is not getting in contact with him. He wants to see his kid. So you saying he violating that restraining order is all goofy. It's all set up, guys. It's crazy. I hope we can enjoy our Big 12 Nation season. College Football Live is hating on us as usual, saying we're not going to get in, hating on our championship game. I said a couple of years ago, I wish we had just added Cincinnati and Houston. But either or, we have 10 phenomenal teams. I'm going to support them all. This is Big 12 Nation. Everybody have a good weekend.